just getting started, but he seems to be doing fine. Nice guy. Really nice guy.
Ted, when you look around the league and you see teams already suffering season-ending injuries to some key players, does that just continue your kind of nervousness about this time? I know you know it's important, but aren't you usually a little bit apprehensive during this time of year?
We've talked about this before, you know, especially during training camp, injuries are sort of the thing you want to try to avoid. And, it's some bad luck around the league. It happens this time of year. And all of us have our share of nicks and bumps, and just hope you can dodge them. But you can't worry about them. You have to get prepared to play, and our guys are getting ready to play.
Say your secondary right now, you know, Means and Smith are probably getting some extra reps, getting an extra chance to see these guys function. Can you call any guys that just made a roster because a minor or two were down and these guys came out of nowhere and took advantage of those reps?
Oh, I'm sure there's been a lot of cases. I can't think of any right off, but yeah, it's opportunity. And you hate to see anybody get necked up, but then that does give opportunity to other people. From a big picture standpoint, you just want to make sure that you have enough that you're not taxing a particular position too much.
But do you feel like there's more competition and more position battles to be won this year than in years past?
Well, we've felt good about the competition level in years past, but I do think this year there's a lot of guys that are vying for the 53-man roster, and I think they have legitimate chances. No, I don't think so. I think by the time you go through the spring and summer and then training camp and the preseason games, I think you have the information you need. You sometimes make a mistake, and hopefully we don't make too many of them, but I think you have enough information. These guys will have a lot of opportunity before it's all said and done.
When you see the skirmishes out on the practice field, do you like to see that?
No, not a fan of that at all. I don't see the point, especially when somebody acts like they want to be in a fist fight and starts swinging like this, and all you're going to do is risk breaking your hand. If you hit a guy's face mask, you're not going to hurt him. You're probably going to hurt your hand.
Did you do anything about that?
Say again?
Did you get any training camp fights with the Oilers?
No training camp fights. I got in a fight on Thanksgiving Day once. It was a shortened day because everybody was going to go home and cook turkey, and offensive lineman Greg Sampson pulled around and I was caught up with my thing, and he knocked me down like this. So I started fighting, and as I start swinging, I'm thinking, this guy's 300 pounds. I'm thinking, what am I doing? And then I'm thinking, I hope they start to break this thing up pretty fast. Fortunately, they did. I'm not much of a fighter. Well, we're always communicating about stuff. I'll say something to players if need be. But I think they're putting one of their own teammates at risk and by definition putting this team at risk. We're going to talk about it. I don't think there's been a whole lot of that. They were pretty frisky the first day.
Ted, what went into the decision to release Desmond?
I'm sorry?
What went into the decision to release Desmond Bishop? Were there injury concerns there?
Just a lot of different things. Number one, I think it speaks well to the growth of our depth at that position. And it's just, one of those things we felt like it was appropriate.
Does it ever make you cringe at all when you see a guy like that you cut that was a contributor here, signed to like an NFC North team or someone that you are going to be seeing a couple times a season?
Oh, sure, yeah. You probably wish he'd gone somewhere else. He's a good man.
Did Johnny Jolly's situation weigh heavily on your mind, or did you feel that if he got reinstated that you would bring him back and give him a second chance no matter what?
No, we thought long and hard on that and made a decision based off of our association with Johnny. When he's been here and been on our team, I can't speak for all the other stuff. I'm not going to try to judge, but when he's been here as part of our team, he's been a good teammate. And he had some veteran players on this team speak up for him.
3 years removed.
Yeah.
3 years removed. How does it look?
There's a lot of these guys don't know who he is. Johnny has some natural ability to play the game. He does things very fluidly and instinctively, and the game kind of flows to him. So far, so good. We got a long way to go.
You say you always watch the interaction with the players. I guess, what have you thought of Johnny's interaction with teammates and in a lot of cases, guys that he's competing for a job with?
Good. Good. Johnny's a good teammate. He's just like his old self. I don't see any difference.
Was that unique for you, though? I mean, other veteran players have spoken up about other veteran players, like Aaron, about Charles Woodson. So was this unique in that you considered other people's opinions?
Well, I always consider other people's opinions. But like I said, a lot of things weighed in on this, and it wasn't a snap judgment. But it's my responsibility. And ultimately I made the call.
Ted, as a player though, does he also bring a certain amount of toughness that you just cannot teach?
Well, I think we have toughness throughout our team, but I think Johnny's demonstrated over the years that he's a legitimate football player.
Ted, you always say, especially in your football report, that your veterans will decide how your team does. How do you view second-year players in terms of veterans and the jump that you want to see from them after their rookie years?
Right, I'm counting on them being the veteran part, too.
Yeah.
But I think you understand what I'm saying in terms of leadership and that sort of thing. But, yeah, we expect historically, Mike and I have both all looked at this as the offseason is very important for the entire roster, but most important for usually those sophomore guys that – are coming from the class before them, and their eyes are not quite so wide, and they sort of understand the ways of the world a little bit more. And we expect, and we got a lot of contributions from the rookie class from last year as it is, and we expect them to continue to grow and contribute.
What compels you to maybe stick with those guys as opposed to going out and signing a veteran from another team?
Well, we're not opposed to signing veterans from other teams. We've done that in the past. We'll do it in the future. But at the same time, in terms of team building and growth and the way everything is structured and set up, the more you can draft or sign college free agents, develop those players, have them over time play 4, 5, 6, 10 years for your team, I think the better off you are. I think it's the people in the locker room like to see that as much as you can, but you can't always do it. You can't always get by doing it that way.
Ted, you said you thought long and hard about Jolly. Was there a certain risk there, a gamble in bringing him back? What was the downside to potentially bringing him back?
Just the whole thing. And we don't know, the psyche of guys, and we hadn't seen him in a long time and that sort of thing. But I've been pleased in his attitude and so far we're doing fine.
Ted, in your time here since 2005, have you had a running back similar in any way, you think, to Eddie Lacy? And what have you thought of him as you've gone from draft day and picking him?
Well, we feel pretty good about it. He's definitely got a natural ability to get north and south off of cuts and run behind his pads and that sort of thing. There's a lot of work to be done yet and that sort of thing, but like the rest of our rookie guys, so far so good. He looks fine.
Is there a part of you that ever gets used to seeing thousands of people in attendance at Tuesday morning for practice or a sold-out family night, or do you think that's still unique here?
I think it's unique here. I can only speak to Seattle when I was out there, and we went away to Cheney, Washington, which is Eastern Washington University, and there wasn't very many people at practices. And I think they practice at their place now, so they probably do a lot better. I think the whole atmosphere here is interesting, you know, the whole riding the bicycle thing and people plan their vacations around coming to watch it, and people will get an autograph from maybe some free agent that nobody else knows, and you hear them just squealing, and they're so excited. And I think that's good for our players to be around that sort of excitement, and it's cool. And I think none of us get old enough to where we're so jaded that we don't appreciate that. I don't think they know anything about what they're talking. I disagree. I guess I shouldn't say it like that. I'd rather take that back and just say I disagree. I think we have a tough group of football players.
When you drafted Brian Bulaga, I'm sure you probably figured he could play left tackle, but now he's been here for 3 years. I guess, are you more sure that he can play left tackle?
Well, he was playing left tackle when we drafted him.
Right, yes.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's the reason the staff moved him there. He felt like, you know, putting him and Josh sitting on the left-hand side was a good move. He looks fine out there to me. Brian's sort of an understated, all-shucks kind of guy. And he just does his job. We'll see. We got to play in the NFL, so we'll get a chance to prove it.
And I haven't heard anybody ask you about this previously, so I apologize. But you said something nice about Brett at the draft, and it kind of went under the radar. I'm just wondering how you feel about some of the progress that's been made between the organization and him. And, you know, he said some pretty mean things about you at one point. I'm wondering how you feel about that progress.
I think it's wonderful. Again, we're talking about this place and what it means to people and the fans and stuff. I think it's wonderful. And surely, like a lot of people said, Mark Murphy and other people in the organization said that this is going to happen, you know, and there will be a Brett coming back kind of thing and get his due honors as he should. The man played for a very long time here and was a marvelous, marvelous football player and a good person in the community, he and his wife. I think it means a lot to the Packers for Brett Favre to be remembered in a good light. And I have no objections at all. I'm thrilled.
Is there something to him coming back?
I'm sorry?
Is the key to him coming back to a Brett Favre day, perhaps a relationship between you and him?
Oh, I don't think so. I think when you're talking about the Packers and Brett Favre and then you talk about me, I'm way down the list, as I should be. I never won any games here.
Tim,
you won a bunch.
Going back to the shareholders meeting, you were very complimentary of Mike and what he's done here. In the 7 years you guys have been together, what have you thought of the growth you've seen in him as a coach and just as a co-worker and what you guys have done here?
Well, I mean, I've always said this. I like him as a man, but I think he's, you know, I think you grow to appreciate things about people with which you work. You probably do in your line of work, and others in this room. You know, you like to. There's things that happen that sometimes aren't good, and you notice the reaction and the calmness or the determination to overcome, you know, some pitfalls and that sort of thing. I think he handles all those things well, and rather than getting into specifics, I would say that's my answer, is just his ability to kind of react to things and understand that the world's not coming to an end.
Was there any point that you can recall that really drove home the point that you made the right decision? Because I'm sure you thought you made a decision, but I guess maybe you just need some confirmation along the way, whether it was that first year or whatever.
Oh, I it was pretty soon after I hired him. You know, I just felt like that the person and the personality and the whole package, I just got comfortable with him very, very soon. And I think it's very important in the structure that we have here, as I've said over and over, for the head coach and general manager to have a very good working relationship, not just something that shows up in public or something, but, you know, when the nitty-gritty starts.
And as a family, that scrimmage is kind of a hold your breath moment for you. I mean, it's real live contact. A lot of the juice and adrenaline with the crowd and everything is, that's something you just want to get through them with holding your hand over your eyes with a little pee.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's a fun night, and people get to see, you know, especially some of the young guys that they haven't seen. I think that's important, and the fans seem to really like it. From my standpoint, I'm not huge on the Packers playing the Packers. I've said that over and over. So, because I can't win, you know, if the offense is out there and the defense is out there, somebody's going to do good, and I can't really win because somebody's probably not really doing good. So I'd rather us play against somebody else. But it'll be fun. A lot of firecrackers. I don't know if it's going to flood us out this year or not. It's we've canceled the thing the last couple of years, right? Yeah.
Coach McCarthy told us you're at home in bed by the time the fireworks go off.
I might be. Whole key is to get out fast before the fans.
Ted, as you watch training camp and feeling the way you do about the Packers playing the Packers, and then you think back to the training camps you went through back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Are you glad that it is the way it is now? Do you think it really does lend itself to guys being in a better place when the season starts and risk being lessened, or is there a little bit of a loss by it being the way it is?
No, I don't think so. I think sometimes the toll that we take on our players currently today is a little bit understated. I'm not one of those that think these guys are soft. We used to have to do this and this and this. When we played, it was kind of 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and you lined up and you huddled and you came out of the huddle and you looked around, and then finally you'd run the play and then you walk back to the huddle and do all that. In a practice, you watch like our receivers, our cornerbacks, and our tight ends and things like that. They're running the whole time. We put these GPS monitors on our player to test the mileage and the exertion and the effort and the power and the loss of energy, all that sort of stuff. It's remarkable what our guys have to do to get ready to play for the Packers. And that's the way the NFL is, though. It's a faster game, much faster game, much more spread out. Both down the field and laterally. So I think we ask a lot of our players.